continue on our series once I get my mic on, of looking through God-centered lenses. And today we are going to be looking at a text from Titus, if you guys wanted to turn with me to Titus 2, verses 1 to 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may be not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teachings so integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Just for context, this letter was written by Paul to Titus. Titus was establishing churches in Crete, an island in the Mediterranean. Paul and Titus had traveled together. Titus had been with Paul on the missionary journeys, and now Titus had been directed and encouraged and called to plant churches in Crete. So this passage really is getting at effective ways to reach the people of Crete. And this application, I think, is very applicable to how we go about reaching the people, specifically this next generation, today. So as we, as a community, look to establish and nurture a thriving Christian community, we see in this verse, these verses, right, this idea and importance of having sound doctrine. We also see age-specific instructions given. And then we see an example that is worth following. When we look at Titus 2:1, we see that Timothy is charged to teach what accords or what is harmonious with, what is consistent with this idea of sound doctrine. So sound doctrine, this is defined as the teachings that are grounded in Scripture, grounded in God's Word. This is foundational, not just for Titus. This is foundational for every believer to be sound in doctrine. But why? Why is this important? So that you may know how you are called to live, and this is pivotal for your spiritual growth. This growing in your biblical understanding, this is a huge part of why we gather on Sundays. This is why we at Trinity encourage you to be a part of a small group, to join in membership, saying these are the people that I want to be in community with, to care for me, to care for them, as we all look to grow in our understanding of what God has called us to, rooted in Scripture. This is why we have TCC kids going on downstairs, right? To meet these kids where they're at, to help build up sound doctrine. This is why Inside Out exists, to have fun, right? To bring kids in and then establish them in the truths of the Bible. So just as frames are a part of the glasses that are critical to the effectiveness of the lenses, without the frames, you can't hold up the lenses. So this sound doctrine, that is the frames at which we are wearing that are supporting us as we put on these gospel-centered lenses. So the link between sound doctrine frames and righteous living lenses. Verse 1 tells us how to build the frames. Look to God's word. Build your frames. And then as we move into verses 2 and 6, we see these age-specific instructions here. These instructions are moving from just this biblical understanding into action, applicable living, the cause and the effect. So what we have become established in, again, the frames, create the structure for us to use our God-centered lenses, taking our beliefs that are rooted in Scripture and allowing them to be useful. God has given His Word to be used in shaping our behavior and shaping our character. He gave us the proper filter, the lenses, to bring clarity to the choices in the midst of our realities as we go about navigating life. We see similar age-specific instructions throughout Scripture, comparable teachings that regard the conduct of various age groups, right? So there's texts for children, there's texts for youth, there's texts for adults, and then there's just general text that is used to just reinforce the timeless biblical principles of shaping those lenses. As we look to the specifics of the texts, we see there are these old disciples and there are these young disciples that are discussed here in the passage. But I don't want this to serve as an opportunity for you to feel like you can disqualify yourself. This text is given. This is didache, which is ultimately Scripture that is intended to help us know how we are called to live. So this text is an example, specific example for some, but it is principle for all. Say that again, right? It's an example for some, but this is principle for all. This application is to seek to bring glory to God as we live for Him. So looking to verse 2, we see these godly older men, or senior men. These are the picture of what a godly man is called to be. He has reached his years of seniority. And at this point, he ought to have learned what are not the good pleasures of life. He has learned that the cost of self-indulgence is far greater than what it provides. Christ-centered dignity and a vibrant faith. That is the goal that we see here. And as we look to the senior women in verse 3, these women, they were the most honored and responsible position. These older women were granted seniority and held up within the Greek society to which this was written to. And within this, there is a calling to be reverent for God, which would be apparent through the character of these individuals. They are called to use the position and their heart posture to come alongside those young women in the community, to mentor the next generation as the next generation is navigating the realities of life to where God is calling them to. This text speaks directly to the care for young wives and mothers, but it does not mean that it is exclusive, right? This text carries the love that God has for all women, for all people groups. And then we see in verse 4 and 5, we see these young women. Now, this passage is written within the reality of the time and the culture, making pieces of this passage temporary. The young women in this context of the Greek world in which it was written, it was affluent and honorable to not need to do a trade, right? And within this context, it was difficult for a woman to even get a job because of the realities of the culture around it. And it's worth noting too that there are many people that we see throughout Scripture who did not fit the qualifications of what this passage is talking about, but were godly women living for Christ. Mary Magdalene, right? She was a disciple of Christ and witnessed the resurrection. We have Priscilla. She was a teacher and she was a missionary. We have Phoebe. She was a deaconess and a benefactor. We have Lydia, who was a businesswoman and was a hostess of a house church. So aspects of this are temporary, but there is also permanence in this Scripture. that makes the text applicable to today. Now, I believe and observe that it is a difficult responsibility and a God-honoring role for a woman to be a wife and to be a mother who cares for her home. Having someone who fills this role in a young person's life brings immense value and immense comfort to the child or to the teen. The realities as you go out, there are uncertainties as you go out the door. But having that reassurance that there is somebody at home who loves you and cares for you carries immense value. And then as we move to verse 6, we see young men. Short and to the point. Be self-controlled. Passions of life run strongest in the youth. There are endless opportunities to stray as you go out. But having that sound doctrine gives you the support to stand against the pull of the world. Now, self-discipline, that is not the most glamorous of virtues. But without first gaining self-mastery of your own impulses, it is difficult to serve others. How can you go about managing others if you can't even manage yourself? This call to be self-controlled is a behavior that is holy and pleasing to God. And then we move down to verse 7 and 8, where Titus is teaching the community of Crete with the goal of effectively communicating the gospel. And a big piece of that effectiveness is the back end of how his witness is reaching others. He himself has to demonstrate what it is that he is teaching. So Paul advises Titus to set an example of integrity and dignity, sound speech, setting a compelling example, an attractive example for others. And as a believer, he needs to find ways to be on display to those that are outside of the community. And I guarantee that outside the community is watching as he's going about proclaiming these truths. He is encouraged not to seek wrong standards of success, which can very easily happen to individuals in forms of leadership. He needs to keep his dignity as he preaches sound message. He is an ambassador Christ. And the result of this godly living is a commendable reputation that maximizes his witness and minimizes the opportunity for opposition. As I look to application of this, first one that stands out to me is build your frames. If you do not yet believe, there is an opportunity for you to enter into belief, right? There is a God who loves you, who cares for you, a God who desires to be in relationship with you, so much so that he sent down his Son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, as he lived among us, setting an example of how we are called to live. Your action is to believe this, to receive this truth and follow him. And to those who already believe, uphold that sound doctrine, both in your personal life and in church community life, because this is critical to your spiritual health and growth. Your ability to influence the worldview of the next generation is by you yourself being sound in your faith. Now, the frame's purpose is to hold up your God-centered lenses. There are many aspects of the Christian faith where we can maybe get stuck around the theoretical at the expense of the application. The frames, the understanding, they hold the message as truth. But the lenses, those are the obedience of you living out what it is that you know is true. Wear your frames with the lenses. You are here because your frames need to be built. They need to be strong. So we are glad that you are here and you are growing and you are solidifying those frames. But at some point, your frames are built enough to hold lenses. For many believers, we become satisfied with just sporting the frames. What purpose is it without the lenses? What if I told you these glasses that I'm wearing, that I've gotten quite a few compliments on, thank you guys, I really appreciate it. These are not needed, right? These are just frames with a piece of glass in them. What is the purpose of me wearing these frames? What is the purpose of the frames that you wear? I actually find it funny. You know who noticed that these weren't glasses? My kids. My kids, they were calling me out, and I'm like, shh, come on, don't ruin my sermon analogy here, right? But isn't that so true, right? The people who are closest to you, especially the young, they can point out a phony a mile away, right? So it is not the frames, the understanding that you have, it is the application of the lenses that actually serves the purpose. They hold the lenses. Put on the lenses. Now, based on these virtues, we see examples of these lenses that are framed in sound doctrine. As we looked at verses 2 and 6, again, we look to the older and the younger, right? But there are principles here for all. This idea of Christ-centered dignity and a vibrant faith. The desire of the heart to strive for that healthy faith, that healthy love, that healthy fortitude, even as you encounter the pain, you encounter the adversities, to hold on to that healthy faith. If you continue to be inactive in your faith, you may wake up one day finding yourself wearing those world-centered lenses, and you don't even know it. Be intentional in putting on your God-centered lenses. And then we see this idea of caring for the next generation. Heart check. Do you see the next generation as a burden? Or do you have a burden for the next generation? I'll say that again. Do you see the next generation as a burden, or do you have a burden for the next generation? I pray that as we gather, that we don't get caught up in the tradition of men lenses, right? The things that we hold on to that have been encouraging to us, right? But are not the God-centered lenses. I pray that we guide and encourage those who are walking in the door, those young moms who took everything to get in here today with their little one. And yeah, maybe there's a little bit of noise, but what a blessing that mom has stepped in that door boldly to be present here, to attempt to learn and grow and attempt to come alongside their child as they pray that they grow up in their understanding of who God is and who God has called them to be. Guide and encourage. Do not daunt and discourage. Look for mentoring relationships between the older and younger generation, right? These play a vital role in the value and the wisdom being passed on. And as we saw in that video, right? Yeah, they're caring for, they're passing on to the next generation, but the growth that God does in them as he works through them, right? They are being impacted and grown as well. Sunday worship is built so that you can build your God-centered lenses. This is true. But Sunday morning is also a time when you can work on developing your God-centered lenses, right? Embracing the challenge of becoming a role model, this will have a lasting impact on the society. Again, a blessing to hear that. A blessing to hear that. And then we see this idea of fulfilling this role of caring for a young person's life, caring for a young person coming into their life. This has immense value. This has immense comfort for that child or teen. Do you see that as a waste of time for you? Do you see that as, oh yeah, that's good for somebody else to do? I know that we are not all called to solve all, but we are all called to have a heart for all. I pray that as a community, we don't think in the context of, well, I don't have any kids yet, so I don't need to worry about serving till I have kids. And I also pray that we don't say, hey, my kids are out the door. I've done my time. I pray that we are thinking strategically around how we can come alongside and care for the children and youth of our community. And we are grateful for those who step in and serve, that value the ministry that we have. And TCC programs, they are a blessing. They are a blessing to many, as you saw in these videos. They serve as a channel, right, to help you get on and go as you look to navigate the world around you. There are ways in which you are learning how to live out your faith and learning around the principles of sound doctrine and placing kids on a vessel down that charter is going to ensure that proper guidance and discretion is being made as they go out. What a blessing. But this is not the only way to live out your calling, right? Don't think just in context of I'm either serving at TCC Kids, I'm serving it Inside Out, or I'm not serving. So what are ways in which you can live this out? Who is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? Where is God calling you to? And then lastly, we see this idea of being self-controlled. Put on your lenses so that you can live according to the biblical principles that will equip you for the challenges that you will face and encourage others, come alongside others as they look to navigate these realities. Within all of these, we pray that we seek God's grace, right? That we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to live out these principles fully. Keep those frames intact. Put on your lenses. In verse 7 and 8, we see a great example set of expectations that Paul has for Titus as he goes out. But ultimately, we're just looking to the example of Jesus. Jesus, when he saw a need arise, he went to it. In the midst of the busyness and realities of all that he had going on, all the important people that wanted to talk to him, he made time for the little children. He made time for those who just needed to reach out and touch, who had faith but had little hope. He sometimes broke the rules of the traditions of man in order to impact those that he cared for. So we move into this end time. I'm going to ask each of you to move towards a time of reflection as I ask a few questions. Just encourage you to attempt to remove any distractions that you may have around you to the best of your ability as you reflect on these. Think around the application of how these apply to your life. I think a lot of times we can think in context outside of ourselves. We can easily focus on others. And sometimes it's good to focus on others, but right now I want you to think around yourself. First, how do you ensure that what you believe is sound and aligns with Scripture? Everyone is an apprentice to something. You have on a pair of glasses. Have you checked the frames and lenses? And then in which ways can you engage in or benefit from a mentorship relationship that we see outlined in Titus? Again, that who is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? Where is God calling you to? Are you thinking about this in terms of building out a program to meet this need? Or are you thinking strategically around how you can come alongside the needs of this next generation? And if it's building a program, it's like, well, we have the channel. Step on the vessel. We'd love to have you. But maybe it's you. Maybe it's God calling you to just be intentional around that one specific person or that one specific need in your life or the lives of others. And then lastly, how can you use your speech and your actions to positively represent the gospel in our society, specifically in the lives of this next generation? And just to offer some encouragement to you as we go out, with God, we cannot. Without us, He will not. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray for each individual here in the reality of where they are at. God, I pray that you would come alongside them. God, whatever it is that you have called them to, God, I pray that they would not leave here thinking about the why nots, God, but they would focus on the whys as they look to affirm the calling that you have placed on their lives. God, I pray that we would be intentional in building out our lenses, of checking our lenses. God, we are so grateful for the frames, God, for your word, that we have been given a gift. God, I pray that we would cherish that gift, that we would spend time in your word, God, that we would intentionally hold on to your truth as we look to shape our godly worldview. God, I pray that we would be bold in loving God and loving others. God, I pray we would not put on prideful lenses. God, in the realities, as we look at this generation, we can very easily be overcome with fear and frustration, God. I pray that we would look to love in the midst of the realities around us. God, I pray for this up-and-coming generation, that they would be willing to hear your wisdom, God, that they would hold on to your truth. God, I pray that their pursuit would be righteous and holy and pleasing to you. Pray all these things in your name.